This is First Baptist Church for Sunday, February 11th, 2024.
I will begin with a proverb and possibly finish with a proverb. Proverbs 4:18, "The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day." Father God, I thank you for this opportunity. I pray that you will work through me, that you will bring the word and the message that you have put in my heart to share with your people, that we would know what is from you, and that although I have my own personality and I bring that to the fore, that would just be a embellishment and not trying to bring the word itself. Lord, it is all about you, your word, your message. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I mentioned a little earlier about honoring the presence. My last message I titled Honoring the Presence, and I now continue with Pondering the Presence. In our Bible study of the book of Revelation, one clear aspect of what it reveals is the identity of Jesus. He is Lord, he is King, he is the Alpha and the Omega. He supports all of creation, the church, and each of us. He is Savior, having performed for us that which we could not do ourselves. He paid the price of sin in order that we could have forgiveness of sin. There is something that takes place for this to occur, and it can be a bit of a mystery. One word used to describe this change is propitiation. To make favorably inclined, appease, conciliate, to be reconciled. His offering reconciled us to God, which we could not do on our own. Another way it has been described is the great exchange. Christ takes our sin and exchange it for his righteousness. We read about the nature of this exchange in Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, made alive in Christ. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So this is the first offering of what it means to have new life, yet still have the old life. The thing is, the exchange is somehow real and yet not fully accomplished. For an understanding of this, I turn to Romans and some of Paul's word salad. Romans 7, 14 to 25. "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do I do not do, but what I hate I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work, Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that's subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. A little complicated, wouldn't you say? As Peter said, in 2 Peter, his book, and the third chapter, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him, he writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. So that tells me that we have to be really careful as we seek to interpret and understand what's meant in this gobbledygook. But as we look at it, we can gain understanding. I don't want to get too fancy, but hermeneutics, the process by which Scripture interprets Scripture, and when you have a question, compare it against everything else said, because if it's true, if it's to be understood, it will be made clear through the Scripture itself. It's how God talks to us. That's how he confirms. You know, we get up in the assembly and we speak and we bring our opinions and our thoughts to the fore, and it is the Spirit that steps forward and reveals what is true. It's true in the Word that when we pursue the question and answer, it will be revealed through Scripture. So now I want to back up a little bit and look at Romans 7, 1 to 6. Released from the law, bound to Christ. Do you not know, brothers or sisters, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives? For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law that binds her to him. So then, if she has sexual relations with another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress if she marries another man. So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. It's a little odd using the image of husband and wife and the husband dying and the wife being able to move on. But when we look closely, we see that what it's really referring to is the individual's life. We die to sin and are born again of the Spirit. It's like a dual life. It is explained as, I still have the flesh, but now I have the Spirit. The Spirit resides in us and is God's presence in us. Before that, we were condemned by the law. And that's what it describes through the first few verses here, that when the law was supreme before the coming of Christ, and you could look forward to it, but it was his offering, his death on the cross, his shed blood that purchased our redemption, changed it from the law to grace. So therefore, we were bound by the law, but you're released from the law and bound to Christ. And I want to try to hit that theme a little harder. So, as I said earlier, there's a bit of a mystery involved with salvation. Many questions can arise, and it is important to consider carefully the answers. In Paul's description, he is somewhat wrestling with the idea that although we are saved by Christ, we are not completely free from sin. Now, I will actually, as I've done here, read about the law and being bound to Christ. Sin, this is what brings me to what I have gained from reading through these passages. I've actually spent time in Romans 7, 8, and 9, and there's, it's all kind of related. And it, you, if you look at all of it and ponder over it, as I say, pondering the presence, we would gain a deeper understanding how it reflects back on itself. So I've come to this understanding. Sin continues to abide in our flesh, but grace abounds in our spirit. We're trying to release and get rid of something and add something. As in the season of Lent, we're looking for something, and I say, I've said it many times, but you know, I learned from Brad, and he repeats a lot too, so God is always looking to remove something harmful and unnecessary and add to us something beneficial and fruitful. And we need to be looking for what that is. I mean, a simple thing of not watching as many TV shows and maybe reading more of the Bible and other supporting works. You know, there's a whole library of information available to us. And internet, just like us, has got its sin and its grace. You can find any evil thing you could possibly desire on there, but you can also get information that's so helpful when we're seeking to answer these questions. So from here, there are many references that confirm how we are to live. And first would be, I want to bring out 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 to 8. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more, for you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. And in that passage is again contained this idea of the old life and the new life, that what was happening with the flesh can be overcome by the Spirit. Know this, it's not like a scale where you're going to weigh, you know, ask a person, are you a good person? Or you ask a person, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Often you'll get that answer, I'm a good person. Well, we know that's not true, right? We know that sin remains. We know that we cannot be perfectly relieved from it, but we can certainly gain ground, and we can certainly grow in that image. We can let Jesus grow in us. It becomes, as John said, more of him and less of us. And that's not a giving up. That's not a loss. We gain our best life by allowing Jesus to work within us and build us into the person he created us to be, and to walk in those to do the things that he prepared in advance for us to do. I mean, fair enough. So, scriptures, Galatians 5, 13 to 18. Live by the Spirit. Life by the Spirit. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, for you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So there's a repetition there again of we used to be under the law, prisoners and slaves to sin, but something happened at salvation. And we're trying to understand deeper what that is. So the Holy Spirit is the presence of Jesus in our lives. And when I say pondering the presence, it means considering and listening to him at every turn. The scripture, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So many times in calling up this scripture, I focus on the "learn from me" by putting the yoke on, because as you know, when you're steering an animal, drawing a cart, you pull to the left and to the right, and over time, if you're paying attention, and I always like to say, age only produces wisdom if you're paying attention. So as you're being led, if you're being attentive to how you are being led, you learn to know the will of God. You learn to have a better understanding of what direction you should take in advance. It's a lot better than having to be yanked back onto the path. And then again, the point of the animal who has traveled home many times, and if it is put on that path and send it, will return home. We're going to be the same way. If we're committed to Jesus and we keep turning to him when we get lost or if we're left alone, we know how to get back to where we belong. So, in this case, I'm going to focus more on the yoke. We are pinning on the yoke. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." And elsewhere it says, "Whoever would be my disciple must take up their cross daily and follow me." So here it is again, that we were slaves to sin under the law, but we take on a yoke from Jesus, which is a light burden and easy. And we carry our cross, but he's the one supporting us. So, in the new life, in the life of the Spirit, we are now freed from the law of sin, and we get the freedom to follow Jesus. Now, what's that mean? Well, Bob Dylan sang, "It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody." The answer is simple, because life is a question that no one can avoid. Who is it going to be? What are you going to do? What is your choice? And we know that in this choice, there's no middle ground. There's no straddling the fence. I used to think that the scripture said, "Those who are not with me are against me." It actually says, "If you're not against me, you can be for me." But the idea is, eventually you got to fall on one side or the other. And if you do not choose God, you do not gain that salvation. You're lost. And I prove you, I turn to the scripture in John 3 to explain this. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned," and here's the punchline, "but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." This is the verdict. "Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth," the Spirit, "comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." We're born in sin. We're born in the flesh. The sin is there with us. When you look at the first one, when you look at Cain and Abel, And God talks to him and he says, what have you done? The sin is at your door. It was already there. He was already in that state. It takes the proper sacrifice, which was his brother. The sacrifice his brother gave was the better one because it was the shed blood. And we know what did that predict, the blood of Jesus, right? So sin has been there from the fall. We've had to deal with it in our early life, the life we used to live. But thanks be to God, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, by the grace of the Father, by the offering of Jesus Christ, we can receive him, receive his righteousness, and for a time, we're in a battle. The battle is now within each one of us to fight off sin, and we do it. And this is my summation. We do it by giving ourselves to Jesus. Freedom from sin is commitment to Christ. When you give your life to him, when you turn away from the things of the world and turn to the things of the Spirit, when you deny the flesh in order to serve God, you are growing in that image. You are leaving the past life behind and living a new life in him. When we receive Jesus, we receive the Spirit, born of the Spirit, born again. We can't become holy or even do good on our own, but thanks be to God, by virtue of Jesus Christ, his shed blood on the cross, purchasing our redemption, through faith in him, we have new life. I pray that we pray continuously, considering and following his lead in all we say and do. This is our bounden duty and service, to live for the one who died for us and is alive again forevermore. Father God, I pray this word as it will, by your power, accomplish what you send it out for. And Lord, I do pray that as I experience these things myself and I basically share my personal journey, that I desire to serve. I have things that cling to me that I need to shed, and you're working with me and I'm working to do those things. But Lord, it is by grace that we are saved. And so my greatest gratitude is for the life of Jesus Christ, for his sacrifice that bought us redemption, and for that wonderful exchange where he takes away our sin, gives us his righteousness, the ability to come into that heavenly kingdom at the last day. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen.